It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the Coalface with Terence Creamer, editor of Engineering News and a contributing editor at Mining Weekly. A very good morning to you, Terence, and thank you for joining us on AM Live. Now, we see potential renewable energy developers are currently sifting through bidding documentation. Tell us a bit about this.
Yes, you know, back in 2009, we had a process that NERSA initiated, that's the regulator in the energy space, looking at renewable energy feed-in tariffs. So a process was initiated to look at what those tariffs should be. Towards the end of 2009, there were tariffs promulgated. That led developers quite excitedly to move ahead and start preparing their project because these tariffs did look like a bit of a dripping roast. And they then went ahead, but there were a number of delays in this process. But eventually, government put out an expression of interest towards the end of last year, and there was a lot of megawatts bid into that. About 20,000 megawatts of interest was expressed. But then the lawyers got hold of the documentation and the refit process on the request of government, and they found that there might be some problems with pursuing a predetermined tariff in terms of South Africa's procurement rules, which state that you can really only make an adjudication based on price and black economic empowerment. So that led to a period of uncertainty from the end of last year right through till really August this year, where we weren't sure whether refit would actually be pursued as it was envisaged. And now we are in a bidding process. So people are talking about a rebid where price will be a factor in the renewable energy project. So we're no longer pursuing the feed-in tariff process. We are pursuing a competitive bidding process.
So it's seen as major progress in this area then?
I think obviously the developers were very unhappy that we abandoned refit, which is seen as the international best practice for pursuing a nascent industry like renewable energy. But I think they also have some comfort in the way the government has put the documentation together. They had to pay 15,000 Rand on the 3rd of August to get access to that documentation. And we now will have a bidders conference on the 14th of September. And then government is expecting to have those bids in and adjudicate them and announce preferred bidders by November. Now, this is massive money. It's between 70 and 100 billion Rand that will have to be invested in the first round. And that will be for wind, solar, biogas, biomass, mini hydro. So these are projects that we haven't really seen in our system, our energy system before. And it's quite exciting. And it's the first phase of what could be a 17,800 megawatt rollout of renewable energy between now and 2030.
Well, we'll certainly keep our eyes on that one. Moving on to legal matters now, I believe there's quite an interesting case that has been taking place, perhaps not a case, but proceedings in the North Gauteng High Court in Pretoria involving Sishen Iron Ore. Tell us a bit about that one.
Yes, it's complex and the prize is huge. The prize is this 21.4% of the Sishen Iron Ore mine in the Northern Cape, which is a well-established and very lucrative piece of real estate in South Africa. And the oral arguments from the Sishen Iron Ore Company, which is owned by Kumba, ArcelorMittal South Africa, the Department of Mineral Resources and Imperial Crown Trading, you know, took place in the North Gauteng High Court last week. And Judge Raymond Zondo has reserved judgment, noting that this is a complex issue and he needs time to not just go through the oral submissions, but also to apply his mind to the mountains and mountains of legal argument that were presented in paper. So in essence, though, Kumba and Mittal both want the award of a prospecting right to ICT overturned at the Sishen mine, but they both want different outcomes. So Kumba believes that the 21.4% that was previously held by ArcelorMittal became vacant on the 30th of April 2009 when they failed to apply for a conversion. And they feel that their submission, their application was competent and they should have received that 21.4% right, which was granted in the form of prospecting right to ICT. They argue that, you know, ICT's submission was not competent. They also allege that there was fraud involved in the copying and the manipulation of certain of their title deeds and submitted as part of the ICT application and therefore should not have been considered by the DMR at all. Mittal, on the other hand, said, no, well, we didn't really need to apply for this right because you can't have a fractionalization of mineral rights. There is only one right and one property and one mineral in this matter, And that right was converted by the Sishen Iron Ore Company in 2008, and we have a 21.4% interest. So you can see it's complex, and there's this element of fraud, and there's these, and there's also been criminal charges laid by both sides. So we have had the Hawks raid recently on the RCT DMR offices, as well as some other offices. And this case it's very important. It involves billions and billions of rands, and Judge Raymond Zondo is going to have to apply his mind over the next few weeks to his first ruling, which might not be the last word, because there's the prospect of appeals, there's a prospect of criminal court case as well. So there's probably still some way to run on this matter.
Well, I'm sure that you'll update us again at some stage when the judgment is going to be handed down. Moving on, though, Umgeni Water started to consider desalination options to augment water supply in eThekwini. What exactly does that mean?
Yes, a number of municipalities across South Africa are looking at desalination as an option because the supply-demand balance is beginning to tighten in the water space. And we need to look at augmentation options. And one of those augmentation options, you know, we heard about the Lesotho Highlands Water Project Phase 2 is going ahead, but one of them could be the integration of desalination technology into the water network. And the city of Cape Town has its own investigations into large-scale desalination option, but the latest is Umgeni Water, who is looking to probe two 150 megalitre a day plants down in KwaZulu-Natal, really to augment the supply to the eThekwini area, the municipal area that's really fast growing. And they've put out a notice that they want bidders to tender by the 15th of September to help them conduct this investigation. Now, that won't be the end of the matter. They also have to do environmental impacts assessments, and the environmental impact assessment will have to focus on the discharge, the brine discharge into the sea, and what that will do to the marine life and current flows, etc., as well as the energy footprint of these plants, because they are energy intensive, and all these matters will have to be taken into account, as well as the costs. But ultimately, you can see that South Africa is trying to apply at the municipal level its mind to the issue of a tightening water supply demand balance. And we are looking at desalination as one of the solutions.
Certainly another story that we'll keep our eyes on, and I'm sure you'll update us again at a later stage. Terence, thank you so much for joining us on AM Live this morning. Terence Creamer is editor of Engineering News and a contributing editor at Mining Weekly. He'll be back at the coalface at the same time next Friday.